bandwidth and hosting for the British Tech Network is provided by UK2.net. Innovative, affordable, and reliable web hosting.
Good evening, Radioland. This is the Pocket Show, the tardy Pocket Show, the Pocket Show that's been in hiatus. We missed a week 2 weeks ago, missed a show 2 weeks ago, I should say, due to bandwidth issues at my end. So we're very sorry about that. We will endeavour to keep a regular schedule from here on in. And for this triumphant return, I am joined by a panel of internet luminaries, and of course James Hart. I do not mean that at all, James.
No, no worries.
So, James, how are you this evening? After I've just insulted you, are you going to leave?
That's all right. I was hoping... We apologise for the late running of this podcast. This is due to poor bandwidth issues. You got yourself a new router, though, Paul, yeah?
Yeah, they sent me a new router. So, we're all good.
Fantastic.
We're all good.
Yeah, you're sounding really good, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I had my my throat tuned. It's all good.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'm okay. Yes, busy day at work. A busy week ahead. I'm just sort of... I've had coffee today. Terrible idea. I'm trying to cut down on coffee because artificial stimulants really... You know, one needs to be able to get through life without relying on them. But coffee on a Monday, bad idea.
Oh, see, my
body's a temple.
I drink a lot of coffee. I drink a lot of coffee. And it's actually got a lot worse recently because I'm running towards the end of a contract that I'm currently working on. And so basically I'm trying to fill my time up, and a slow walk to the cafe, buying a cup of coffee and a slow walk back up again is one fantastic way to fill a day. So I am drinking a lot of coffee just now.
The walk gets faster over the course of the day as the caffeine levels rise. Slow down!
Yes. Well, actually, the walk there gets slower. The walk back gets faster.
Yeah.
That's great. So we're also joined again, the triumphant return of Alan Houshel. How are you this evening?
I'm good, thanks.
Oh, no, we've got a little bit of delay there, but hopefully that's not going to affect us too much. Good. How was your day been?
Yeah, busy. Getting things lined up to support Sport Relief on 21st of March and stuff.
Oh, so cool.
Lots going on.
Very, very good. Very good. And you're primed and ready with all our Windows Phone news?
Yep, good to go.
Good, good, good. And we are also joined by the mighty, I was trying to think of a Viking reference there, but that probably doesn't apply. Streak Machine, Robert Falk, how are you this evening?
I'm very fine, and Viking I am most definitely not. I am merely 173 centimetres above the ground, and they were much bigger beings, I would imagine, and understand.
How's your week been? Has it been exciting and action-packed?
In a normal sense. I am now the last person in the household still running Snow Leopard, so I've been helping the wife upgrade to the newer version and so on. So that's about as exciting as my life gets.
Is your boy on Mountain Lion?
No, he does still not have any computer at all, except when he nabs mine to watch Manamana and other Muppet-related lovely things.
Manamana. Very good, very good. Yes, I can't wait till my daughter gets to that level whereby I can start throwing that kind of stuff in front of her and I can justifiably sit and watch it for an afternoon myself. It's exciting
times.
It's
great that the Muppets are compatible with Snow Leopard. That's really good news.
Yeah. I was kind of shocked at first too, but they've done a really good job on it. I like it.
Nice.
Oh, superb. 3 minutes in and we have a show title. Very good. So, on to the headlines that have come in this week, or rather this fortnight. So there is a few things that kind of happened when we had that kind of missed week a couple of weeks ago. Some big things such as the new Microsoft CEO and stuff like that. So we're not going to be covering that because that's going to be covered in the big show and things. But so just a quick rundown of the articles. We mentioned in the last show that Cortana is coming as Microsoft's answer to Siri, but it's sort of been officially announced and some actual screenshots have appeared of it. I think I saw some today. They're actually quite... I don't know quite how to put this. They're quite shapely figures of Cortana.
I'm afraid, unfortunately, that's the PR and blatant stealing of the sexy images from the Halo games. The actual Cortana on Windows Phone is going to be looking like it's a sort of quite minimal blue circle for a face and sort of eyes giving expression choices and stuff. So it's going to be more of an emoticon, a sort of Metro emoticon, rather than actually a dancing sexy girl on your phone, I'm afraid.
You see, that little eye puts me in mind of the droid little red dot thing that frightened children. I might just see that on my phone. Oh, no, my goodness me, that's...
Well, there was a... I don't know how much you guys got into the Halo games and stuff, but there was a computer called the Superintendent in Halo 3 ODST, and that was just... Its emoticon was a circle with eyes that actually managed to get across quite a lot of expression, and they think that's sort of where the design's heading.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that pans out. I'd quite like Master Chief, though. I mean, Cortana's nice, but I think being able to ask Master Chief questions and things like that would be quite cool.
I'm a little bit concerned about the early generation. I'm probably going to wait for Mark II Cortana.
Probably a good choice. But, I mean, at least it's not a big red circle and, I'm sorry, Dave, I can't do that.
Yes, there's, Flappy Bird clones are now making up one third of all newly released iOS games. This is incredible.
And sad. And very, very sad.
Yeah, I don't think incredible is the best adjective for it.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. It is sad. It's just, I just can't get my head around this at all. I wasn't really that. I don't want to kind of labour the Flappy Bird thing because it's been covered on every other show, on every other podcast on the planet. But that game just didn't engage me at all. Not one little bit. It was incredible. Interesting, nonetheless. There's also apparently a plague of copycats on Windows Phone as well. And apparently they're also covering some clones with malware on the Android platform as well. Just ridiculous. Why are people downloading these games? It's gone. It's done. Move on. Find a new game. The Galaxy S5 has been announced for Android. What's your thoughts on this, James? Is it... Do you feel it's a big enough jump up for it to make you be interested in the Galaxy? Because I'm right in saying you don't carry a Galaxy just now. No,
that's right. I had the first Galaxy S was the first Samsung Galaxy phone I had, and I've managed to skip a number of generations. But to be honest with you, they really do seem to be attempting to get distance between the 5 and the 4, and it seems to be harder than ever before. You know, they've maybe sort of taken a couple of ideas from other manufacturers, shall we say. But what they're offering is just a faster machine. I don't know, if they've got better battery life, that's a good thing. But I dare say they've got to make it sellable. They've got to, and at the moment it looks like they're going for the hype rather than the actual kind of content. They're actually saying, great phone, buy it, and getting everyone excited to buy it, but using the marketing techniques rather than actually having anything particularly good, particularly standing out to be able to sell. I honestly, I've heard a lot about the S5. I think it might be a bit waterproof.
Yes.
I wonder where they got that idea from. It's got thumbprint detection. Wonder where they got that idea from.
Yeah.
And it's sexy. Yeah. What else? Okay.
They've got a heart rate monitor in it as well.
And a heart rate monitor.
But you have to actually be holding the phone.
What's the point of that?
Yeah, I know. If I want to check my heart rate, I'm usually relatively sweaty in some manner or other. And I don't want to be holding my phone while I jog or something like that. And
Yeah, one false move and it'll go flying off into the forest or something.
Yeah. So unless you are jogging over a pool, because then it would land in the pool, be completely safe.
Well, that's a good point.
No. It's only water resistant, and only if you have the rubber cap on the bottom. It's not as waterproof as Sony's ones.
Right, but it's waterproof up to a meter, I thought.
They're only saying dust and water resistant, not waterproof.
Oh, I thought it was up to a meter. Oh, well. Yeah, so that wouldn't work then. That's a shame.
And it does mean that you have to not have ripped the stupid rubber grommet off the USB connector on the bottom.
Ah, right, okay. It's also the thumbprint detector, The Verge reported yesterday, I think it was. Actually, we're probably Friday now because yesterday was Sunday. That the thumbprint detection, you have to actually kind of go perfectly down in a line when you're kind of swiping down. So it doesn't work the same as the iPhone 5S where it's just hold until it detects it and unlocks it. It's actually swiped down like the old Livono laptops.
It basically recognises the grease mark.
God, you just come in, you just show titles pouring out of you tonight, James.
Sorry.
Windows Phone is the fastest growing in Europe, apparently 10.1% share of European mobile
device
sales.
Windows Phone. Yeah, don't do any bigger.
Oh, very good.
It's all about what you feed them, I hear. No, you shouldn't feed them after midnight, no. That kind of stuff.
Yes, so they're the fastest growing segment in Europe. I find this a little bit hard to believe is the wrong phrase to put, because I rarely see Windows Phone in the wild. Now, I completely accept that two people on this show, so 50% of this population, carry some sort of Windows device. Mm-hmm. But it's rare that I see anybody wanting a Windows Phone. And now, notwithstanding the fact that I do appreciate that they're good phones and everything like that, and I'm not having a go at them in any way, I just find it interesting that they're the fastest growing segment or fastest growing platform.
The thing is, you can pick them off the shelf at Tesco's for less than 100 quid. I think it's the Nokia 825, something like that. It's really, they really are cheap. And if people want an entry-level phone that isn't too sloppy, you know, what you end up having is you end up having either a brand new Windows mobile phone or Windows Phone phone, or you have a three generations back Android phone, which struggles with performance. So you can kind of see what they're aiming for, but I don't really see a huge number. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Out in the wild, on people's desks at work, because that's what I do. I just look. I mean, I work for a technology company. Look at people's desks. Still mainly iPhones.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're they're the ones that have been on contract for 18 months and they're sort of waiting for it to get to expire so they can get something else, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same. I work in very much kind of 50% sort of UX design, and then 50% are kind of front-end devs and things like that. And it's a very, very kind of fair split between Android and iOS, between those two groups.
I mean, I've been actually quite surprised in my office recently. No, the momentum's definitely been building. Weirdly, both the people working in the canteen ended up with Windows Mobile soon after each other. Right. A number of long-term devs and a couple of long-term iPhone users that I know in work defected to Windows Phone. And around my desk, which might be a fringe effect, there's four Windows Phone users.
Right. Have you taken up hypnosis?
Yes. No, it's interesting. I just don't see as much advertising kicking about as I do for kind of Android and iOS and things like that.
In those stats of that story, it says for the UK, 6.4% Windows Phone. So, I mean, you know, to be fair there, you know, in the UK, Android's sitting at 56% and iOS at 31%.
Yep.
But it's these other countries, you know, like Italy, where Windows is, where Windows Phone is, you know, 13%.
Right. Okay.
You've got a number of these other countries where Windows Phone is beating iOS in certain markets. But yeah,
I would assume that Germany would be one of those markets, but I don't know the stats anymore.
No, Germany's surprisingly low for Windows Phone. They're only just scraping 4%. Oh, no, hang on, sorry. No. Last year, not 2014, 7%.
Mm-hmm. Not too bad.
But, yeah, so the big numbers. But there were a number of European countries where they picked iOS now.
Interesting. Apple is now making it even easier for businesses and schools to go iPhone and iPad. So this is basically Apple is releasing new policies and things like that around app licenses in bulk. So buying apps in bulk under Apple's volume purchase program and sell a large number of them of devices at once. So this is quite an interesting twist here, because I know it has been an issue, certainly in my work, and I know I don't work in an education sector. But the whole idea of being able to download and install software means that somebody somewhere in the team has to attach their credit card in some way, shape or form to an iOS account. So I don't know if this will then flow into enterprise as well, but it's certainly interesting that they're making this move.
And about bloody time, if I may say so myself. I often heard so many times complaints, specifically from the education sector, that there's the management problem and it's the, like you said, volume licensing.
Yeah.
And those are the real key issues, especially when you have kids running around and, well, they can get funny ideas about what to put on the iPads
yep.
or whatever other device they have in education. So kudos to Apple for finally getting around to fixing this, and it should at least improve the situation for many educational institutions.
And it will open the door. Yeah. It'll open the door for more as well. It'll encourage people to do it, to make that step that they were reluctant to before because of these risks, because of the fact that people have to take their own liability. Yeah.
Yep. Cool. Along with the Galaxy S5, Samsung also announced some new gear wearables. I think I'm going to patent that. Wearables. One interesting thing is they dropped the Galaxy brand for them. They're just called Gear now. Now, I believe that's all around the Tizen operating system, isn't it? That these wearables are now running this Tizen.
And they also don't necessarily, because it used to be the case you had to have a Galaxy device to be able to mate with it, but now very it's true. Just, I think, a Samsung device, isn't it, or something.
Yeah, yeah. Now, see, these ones are the first ones that I have actually looked at and thought, do you know what? These are starting to look like things that I might actually put on my wrist. I may be in a minority here. I accept that.
I haven't had a wristwatch for so many years that I've forgotten what it's like.
I think the colour touchscreen one, is enough different and seems to do enough other features that, you know, yeah, I'd say, I think it's made it to the, you know, gadget lust and, you know, really stands out point.
Well, it's got to the point for me, and being a self-confessed Apple fanboy, it's got to the point where I actually can see Apple producing something now. I was kind of sitting on the fence, and something about, I think it's the Neo, there's something about that made me go, do you know what, I could see Apple taking this and just taking it just a little step further, and I would be opening up my wallet to whoever passed by at that stage. I don't know, what do you guys think? Has this changed your opinion, or were you against it or for it anyway? Anybody?
You go first.
I'm just still a bit skeptical over the concept that if it doesn't really add anything more than just a display and that it kind of shows notifications and stuff like that, if they take some step beyond that and add some real unexpected and really, really useful functionality to the device, I wouldn't have any kind of issue with it. And that doesn't matter who manufactures it or comes up with the idea, as long as it's something good, go ahead. I mean, it at least find a niche market, and heck, I might even be a part of it.
Now, what intrigues me about this is that, we were sort of talking about what we see at work, technology-wise, but I do see quite a few of my colleagues with these wristbands that sort of measure whatever's going on. The jawbone up or something, is it? Yeah, the Fitbits and all that business. Yeah. If they can make this kind of last, because those things last, you can charge them like once a week if that. They last for bloody ever. If we can get one of those for a reasonable price, because, I mean, Fitbits are fairly expensive as it is, but if you're not spending a little bit that much more on a Bluetooth device that will give you quick access to your text messages and make people who, as Robert was saying, who hasn't worn a watch for goodness knows how long, wear a watch for the first time in goodness knows how long, it might just work. But I'm wondering if it is... It hasn't reached critical mass yet, I don't think. And I haven't thought... it's this whole thing. I haven't got a Fitbit. I haven't got something that I can wear that will detect my pulse rate. I go to the gym and I work out and I have to write down everything, all the calories I've burned and all that stuff. It's just such a faff to be able to do that, just to make sure I kind of, can look back and say, yes, I can justify eating those six donuts. But... having something on my wrist that says, no, don't eat the donuts, would probably be a lot more effective.
Yeah, I think the big thing, I had the Nike Plus Fuel Band. My wife got me for my Christmas last year because I said that I wanted it and it looked like a cool thing. And interestingly, it's sitting beside me on my desk here because I stuck it on eBay last weekend. I stopped using it. And the big thing for me was I quite enjoyed it, and I quite enjoyed looking at the app and getting all the data and everything like that. But the killer missing element for me was the fact that you had to actually now and again fire the app up and then hit the synchronize button, which then synchronized all your data between the fuel band and the app. Now, if the watch, which I'm assuming these Samsung ones do, and I'm also assuming that if Apple was to come out with something, it would automatically all sync and everything like that. That, I think, would be that missing piece for me. The fuel band just didn't do it because you had to remember to update the app. And also, frankly, I don't do enough exercise to justify it. It was essentially a black plastic watch. That was all it did.
I was going to say that there's two things I like with the new wearables that came out at Mobile World Congress. I would say for the Samsung one, the fact that the touchscreen one did so much more with, you know, notifications, but you could also control your music playback. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I say, yeah, it was in constant Bluetooth tethering. So, yeah, syncing shouldn't be a problem. And Samsung were bedding the fitness stuff in quite deep in the OS and it would run in the background. So sync shouldn't be a problem. But there was the other company that had come up with effectively similar thing. But then you took it out of the wrist strap and it was a Bluetooth headpiece as well. Because it's already talking via Bluetooth, so all they added was a microphone and a speaker, and you could shove it in your ear when you wanted a Bluetooth headset.
So it fitted around your wrist? Or was it just a section of it came out?
No, so it fitted. There was a wrist strap with, you know, a sunken embedded place.
Right.
It looked a lot shape and size. You know, it was a sort of elongated oval that plopped into this wrist strap, and you could use it for, you know, the heart rate and the fitness Fitbit sort of tracking. Mm-hmm. But then you took it out and shoved it in your ear as a Bluetooth headset. What it didn't have was the funky color bend OLED screen like the Samsung top end one and stuff. But I'm saying if those get together on the next one, you know, and it was a Bluetooth headset as well as notifications, music playback and fitness tracking, that would probably be enough to put something back on my wrist.
Right, okay. Is it just you and taxi drivers that use Bluetooth earpieces?
It's true. At the moment, I don't use Bluetooth headsets. I'm saying because I can't be bothered to keep one hanging around my person for the few times I'd use it.
Use them constantly. I mean, I always have a Bluetooth, basically, because I hate having... I like to listen to music and I don't have to want to have my headphones plugged into my phone all the time because it always gets caught on something.
See, so that's different. I have Bluetooth headphones, but I don't have a Bluetooth... I was thinking just the little ones that taxi drivers wear all the time.
Oh, right. Oh, yes.
Just this one that just hang out your ear that looks like Uhura's one from Star Trek.
Can I ask a question about these watches? Are any of them using colour e-ink screens, you know, as an attempt to sort of minimise energy use? I don't see why they wouldn't do that, a small kind of e-ink display.
I think the Nike Fuel Band one, maybe the Fitbit, were more e-ink. They were very basic screens, but...
Mm-hmm. It was just LED. The Nike Plus one is just LED. I don't know about Fitbit. I can't comment on that, but it's just a series of LEDs.
I imagine that would be a way to... I mean, for me, it's all about battery life. I wouldn't want to have... The last thing I want is something on my wrist that stops working in the middle of the day because it's run out of batteries. And if I don't religiously charge it at night... I mean, I've got a bedside table full of stuff which is on charge overnight so to have any attempt at all to be able to get through the next day with it. And adding one extra peripheral to it is just a little bit... Just that little bit of step extra that I'm not particularly keen on.
Mm. Yeah, no, I think so too. I think it needs to have a massive battery life on it. At least a couple of days anyway.
Mm-hmm. But the fact is, I haven't seen anybody with one of these watch things yet. Haven't seen anyone.
I've seen one out in the wild, and Ewan's got one as well, but I haven't seen that.
He's got the Pebble, hasn't he? Well, that was a really nice looking thing, yeah.
Oh, sorry, the Gear. You mean the Gear, you don't mean just...
Oh, no, if any of generally. Any description at all, one of these watches that communicates with phone, I haven't seen anybody with one. Yeah, because let's face it...
So-called smart watches.
If, that's what they're called. Well done. Because let's face it, if somebody did have one, they would probably be playing with it all the time.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah, there's a gentleman that... I used to work beside, and I just met up with him for a beer the other night, and he has a Pebble. And interestingly, it wasn't until after I left the pub that I realised that he had the Pebble, and I would have quite liked to have a look at it, but I didn't even notice it. It actually looked like sort of a 1980s calculator watch. And so it never even occurred to me at the time to have a look at it. But I think
they're
interesting.
But that has the e-ink, right?
It does, yeah. That's e-ink. That's e-ink, yeah. I think I would get one. I wear a watch. Generally, I'm not wearing it right now, actually, as it happens, but I wear a watch normally, and I think I probably would get one of these. But then again, my watch was a wedding present, so then again, I don't know if I want to swap it out. It was a wedding present from my wife, so I don't know. It's funny. I like the idea of it, but I don't know if I'd wear two. Would I wear like a really nice watch on one wrist and like a smart watch on the other wrist? I don't know. Anyway, I think we've done this one to death. Windows Phone BlackBerry Messenger is out on Windows Phone. Stop the presses.
Coming out in the summer.
I'd
say personally, I'm not that excited about this. However, I think it probably is important from a market point of view in that, you know, people abandoning BlackBerry, you know, would only consider platforms that support BBM probably. And, you know, without Windows Phone having it, they're going to have to go to Android or iOS, aren't they? So strategically important, but not personally thrilling.
See, I disagree. I think it's too little too late. When you've got Facebook Instant Messenger, you've got Skype, and crucially, certainly in Europe, you've got WhatsApp. WhatsApp is Facebook have just bought WhatsApp, which means it must be worth something. So I think it's too little. I mean, the fact that why can't they make it available now? I mean, how hard is it to code for Windows Phone? I don't think it's that
it's
tough.
Not.
Exactly. So
there was one rumour that what they're doing is they're waiting for Windows Phone 8.1 to come out, because that then shares more APIs and stuff with Windows, and they're actually going to release it as a desktop and mobile Windows client.
Woo.
And write it once. Yeah, so BBM on a desktop. Way.
That's core market, that is.
Well, yeah, someone was saying that it's a place WhatsApp can't go yet because they are tied to a phone number, whereas BBM can go there because they're just tied to an ID. Hide from WhatsApp.
And Facebook Messenger already is there.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I was really surprised that my son has chosen Facebook, even because you can do video calling on Facebook now, can't you, as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He shows that one as being his thing of choice. I mean, I think he uses Skype a lot of the time because he's got a large range of contacts. But because he's got an iPod Touch and Nexus 7 with a reasonable camera on the front, that's what he tends to use for his chatting, which is really... I was really surprised. I never thought, because I find that the last thing I want to do, I go onto Facebook and I sort of think, I wonder what's going on in the world, what are my friends doing? And next thing I know, bing, a message come up. Conversation.
I have to interact with people. No!
I just wanted to stalk them, not interact.
Exactly. Well, no, it's the fact that in the old days, you used to get a Facebook message, it would pop up on the left-hand side of the screen, and then, you know, you'd read it like an email. But now the Facebook message comes straight in, and then it comes with a little tick to say they've read it. They go, oh, no, they know I've read the message. They're going to expect me back. Quick offline mode. So if it was you, I do apologise. This is probably telling too much of a story about my interactions with social media.
No, actually, I'm almost exactly the same. I found a setting a while ago that says they're always showing offline mode until I go online. And I'm assuming that's still active, but that's my...
Oh, don't be too sure.
Yeah,
they like to change those settings, I hear.
I don't know. I was a bit. I don't mean to kind of take this away from Big Brother. No, that was a Freudian slip. BlackBerry Messenger. I find the WhatsApp thing quite interesting in that I don't know anybody that uses WhatsApp.
I do.
Really?
Because I don't have unlimited text messages on my phone contract. I'll run out of text messages, and that'll be I want to be able to communicate with people, and it's literally free. It's quick. You can send video and audio clips as well.
Right.
It's a bit less discreet than Snapchat, but it's still good for, you know, it's for example, if my son, and I don't want to use Facebook Messenger because I get inundated with other messages, I can send him a quick WhatsApp thing rather than a text message. Although, you know, it's horses for courses, really. But yeah, I quite like WhatsApp.
Yeah, no, I use iMessage for almost the exact same scenario as communicating with my daughter. And all her friends use iMessage as well.
They're in the Apple ecosystem, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, all of them are iPod Touches. Pretty much, I reckon that my daughter should be getting some kind of commission from Apple, because there is at least six that I can think of off the top of my head, iPod Touches that have been sold in the surrounding area to us.
So she's done an Allen on her friends, has she?
Yes. They're all using iPod Touches. A couple of them have actually migrated to iPads for like Christmas presents and things like that.
So do you think that Apple will be doing the same? I don't know. I can't remember if they've opened up their protocols to other platforms.
No, they haven't. No. iMessage is just iOS.
I'm surprised, kind of.
I don't know. It's a little bit of a hook. I have to say, I think I've said this on this podcast or many, probably another podcast over time, but I used an Samsung Galaxy S3 last summer and I really, really enjoyed it. And the only thing that dragged me back to Apple with the iPhone 5S was the inability to communicate with my daughter. That was probably the top three reasons that I dropped
it. Meant
the
you had to talk to her. Joking, of course.
She kind of takes it a little bit far. I'll get messages in the morning kind of asking me questions because she can't be bothered to get out of her bed and come through and ask me because she's watching telly or something. It's ridiculous. Anyway, Apple is preparing a software update to enhance the functionality of the iPhone 5S Touch ID. Robert, you popped this one in. So how are they enhancing the functionality?
As I understand it, it's going to be mainly to make it work better than it has so far, because it has been functionally okay. Anyone with a device of the iPhone 5S kind can please inform me if it works well or not. I don't know. I haven't tried it yet.
It's very good. But
it is very good? Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, they're going to make it work even better, and it's going to be more accurate, as I understand it. So any of these little things where people, I see this so often, people whining about it online. Oh, it doesn't read my fingerprint perfectly every time. Okay, well, they're working on it. They're going to improve it. No, it's a line in their, it's a piece of their improvement work.
I would love this to be opened up. So when I first saw this headline, when you popped it in the document, I was really hoping I was going to open up the document and find that they'd opened up the API in some way. Since the kind of banks are maybe a bit extreme. I don't think banks would do it, but some kind of app that requires that extra security allowed you to use that to kind of authenticate. But sadly not.
Not just yet, anyway. Yeah. It might come in the future. Like, you never know. It'll be the end of the year before we know it. And no, iOS 8 will probably round the corner. And maybe. You never know.
Mm-hmm.
At least for those, like you said, banking, those important kind of things like that.
Yeah, I just don't see banks perhaps trusting their security to Apple, because then they're not passing through any. Anyway, just by the by. And finally, the news we've all been waiting to hear is finally Livono have suggested that they're going to be releasing Ashton Kutcher designed phones. Well, I think this possibly outstrips the BBM article, I have to say, for me. So we've known for a while that Ashton Kutcher has been, what was his official title? Something like design lead or system engineer or something like that for Livono.
Didn't he used to be like the person most followed on Twitter or
did,
something?
Yes, yeah.
There you go. There's obviously that gives him, qualifies him, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And he also
that was actually due to that he posted semi-nude photos of Demi Moore when he was married to her.
I was going to say, Oscar, he posted semi-nude pictures of himself. I've tried that. Didn't get any followers at all.
Yeah. Half a dozen people left, in fact.
Exactly.
He does do a little bit of venture capitalist-ness. So he
gives some money to some startup, things like that, and he also plays.
Oh dear!
Hello. Well, I don't know.
Does that mean that whole conversation about not knowing who Ashton Kutcher was and Robert being very helpful and giving me a detailed description of him went unrecorded?
I certainly the recording dropped out about the point that I was talking about Ashton Kutcher being Steve Jobs.
Right.
We were all happily chatting on the screen.
Absolutely oblivious of the fact you weren't there. And nor was the listener.
Oh, well.
I just got a round in, for heaven's sake. I missed you, Paul. Sorry, mate.
I don't know what happened there. It just went completely dead. Street Machine can't come back in for the moment, so we'll give him a second. They're releases of phones that have been inspired or designed by Ashton Kutcher. It's Lenovo.
Can you just tell me very quickly, what phone does Lenovo make?
Well, they don't actually make a phone just yet, but they bought Motorola from Google five weeks ago? I think we talked about it in the last Pocket Show, which was
right
4 weeks ago.
And the first thing they said was, these phones look rubbish. Let's get a celebrity to design a new one.
Well, I think it's similar to what BlackBerry did with Alicia Keys a couple of years ago. And it's just putting
Just make her the cultural ambassador or something?
Something ridiculous like that. And they kind of wheeled her out during press conferences and things like that.
Speaking of which, now I'd be
scared in that Lenovo's just also one of the new partners for Windows Phone. Please, really? I don't need the Ashton Kutcher phone.
I think it's a fairly niche market. I was just going to bring up the whole Alicia Keys, because Alicia Keys was like fronting up BlackBerry and using an iPhone in private. And then we had that whole Ellen DeGeneres thing, she did this selfie with a Galaxy Note and was tweeting from her iPhone when she went backstage. To think, what the hell's going on here? Ashton Kutcher is probably going to be designing a Lenovo. Why can nobody say Lenovo except Alan? You're going to have to say it for us. The new Lenovo phone, but he's not going to use it, is he?
No.
He's probably going to put polka dots on it or something.
It was a while ago. Who was it? Somebody else had that same faux pas. Oprah. Way back when the Surface first got released, she tweeted from an iPhone, "Oh my God, I love the Surface." And fantastic. Why did they never learn?
Still there, Robert, by the way?
Nah, he's gone.
I
am going to attempt to get him back in, but I'm just going to do a sponsor just while we're trying to get Robert back in. So this podcast and all the others in the British Tech Network are sponsored by the wonderful, wonderful people in Network Union. Network Union are an authorised BT business partner licensed to sell their global and UK services. Their expertise has been earned from working with a large global and UK enterprise, but now also work with SMEs. So if you're part of the decision-making process you're looking at products for wide area networks, MPLS, VPLS, Ethernet, internet leased lines and all that kind of awesome stuff, Network Union are in a position to uniquely design workflow designed to align to your specific organizational requirements to BT's connectivity products. So what you need to know, they're not a reseller. They don't add fees. BT still provide all your contracts, your support, your billing. There's absolutely no difference to dealing with BT Direct, except they just come into the middle and they just add their expertise on top of that and provide a fantastic service at no extra cost. So if you're an existing BT client, they'll instruct BT to look at repricing your connectivity, even if you're in the middle of a term. So just contact them at any point. It's not going to disrupt anything. Everything from BT Business Broadband, upgrades from Copper Fibre, Enterprise One, all that kind of nonsense. So if you're a new client, their ideal way to get a hold of BT services are available across the UK for meeting internationally if you're global. So in a nutshell, they're exceptional at connectivity design and they're able to achieve the very best commercial from BT and they remain assigned to your account during contract. Superb. So first of all, Robert, are you back with us?
Indeed.
What?
Skype has issues with me, that's all.
What would you like to discuss with us this evening in the wonderful world of Apple?
Something that kind of popped up today, fairly big, although it has been talked about earlier, but now it's more finalized, and it's called CarPlay this time, instead of iOS in the car.
CarPlay?
It's basically these, they've talked about integrating iPhones primarily better into the overall car experience, and that has now been properly named CarPlay, which is, well, you can think what you want about it, I guess. It's basically the same thing they mentioned in the last big iOS keynote, that they take the interface and adapt it somewhat. So all the buttons on the steering wheel or otherwise in the car, they will control things directly from your iPhone and make the whole experience more safe on the road, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Tying in with dictation for messages. So you get an SMS while driving. You, in theory at least, could just like read the answer back what you want to answer the person, and goes off, and it'll be completely intelligible, and it can read something else back to you, and people will start wondering, what are you doing while you're driving? In essence, I guess it's Apple's way to try to make it safer to drive around while still being way too connected to the rest of the world. It's promising.
So is this actually, so they announced this at WWDC, as you say, under a different guise, but so is this them now saying that it's actually going to come out in cars in the near future?
Yes, indeed. Or three that are signed on right now that I know of. One is Ferrari, and Volvo is the other one, and I keep forgetting which the third one
Mercedes.
Is. I shall see. Was it Mercedes? Yes. Yeah. That they're all going to launch models this year, 2014 models with the new features built into them. I'm not sure if it'll be like some add-on or if it'll be standardized, but I'm assuming, or at least hoping, it'll be something you can add on.
From looking at the report in The Guardian, it says quite a few more manufacturers are trying to do a deal with BMW, Ford, GM, Hyundai, which means what strikes me as interesting here is if it's a proprietary format, you're kind of darned out of luck if you haven't got an iPhone.
Yeah, that's my worry too there. This is probably the biggest thing we have in terms of some kind of a standard, but it's so skewed towards just one manufacturer that it's a little bit creepy. That's why I want it to be an option, so others can also, like if Samsung makes some huge deal with all the other car manufacturers as well, that they can also have this in parallel, so you have some kind of an option at least. That would be great.
Yeah, I still go back to, and I know it'll never happen, but I still go back to this idea that why can't they just have some kind of universal port that somehow gets the screen of whatever device you're using onto the screen of the machine, of the car. So if you use an Android, fine. Android just plucks up and becomes the screen on the interface in your car. If you're using Windows, same iOS.
Frankly, all it needs is a new Bluetooth protocol. Bluetooth is fast enough. It's close enough. You might, why the hell not?
Yeah, well, I mean, at the moment, it's hard enough finding cars that that allow streaming of music from Bluetooth. I mean, most cars now do Bluetooth calls and things like that. But I was looking for a car last year. Just a little window into my world in that I don't really care about cars, but I was going to any car manufacturer that would give me decent Bluetooth streaming. And I didn't actually buy a car. I stayed with the car I had because I couldn't find one that had the right kind of technical setup inside. Didn't give a crap how many gears it had or what its mile per gallon was. I just wanted a car that I could sync up my iPhone to.
Funnily enough, I bought a new car 2 years ago, and I paid extra for the Bluetooth option, the one that did. And the thing is, you have to pay through the nose for something which really is what, like a 50 quid chip, if anything, if that. It's a real... But then... It's always been the case that car manufacturers are thinking three years ahead. So maybe in 3 years' time, Bluetooth will be built in. But right now, they're still in the dark ages.
Yeah, but we'll not be using Bluetooth in 3 years.
That is the problem.
Yeah. I mean, some of them did Bluetooth streaming. So, for example, my wife's car is a Nissan, and it does Bluetooth streaming. If you use the standard, and this is maybe an Apple problem, but if you use the standard... like iTunes app. I use Spotify for my music, I use Downcast for my podcasts, and I use Audible for my audiobooks. And the Bluetooth doesn't work with any of them. You still have to get your phone out of your pocket and hit play. Now, once you've hit play, you can then pause and fast forward and things like that. But you can't actually control the app. You have to actually do the first kind of fire.
The first
up.
Little bit. Oh, no, that's really frustrating. Unlike plugging into a quarter-inch jack, a 3.5mm jack, in which case it goes, oh, you plugged something in, let's start playing in that business. Yeah,
yeah.
It's scary that this is 2014 and that's still the best solution we have in many ways for, universal standard.
Exactly. Cool. So I'm interested to see how this pans out, given that I'm completely iOS anyway. This doesn't really bother me. It bothers me in the sense that I've played with Android and I like Android, and you never know, I may move over there in the future. So I don't know if I'd want to commit to a 3-year finance deal on a car, and potentially that means that I'm locked in iOS for 3 years. But it's interesting nonetheless. So we'll see.
It's kind of in the other manufacturer's ballpark now, I guess, that they should come up with something equally as good. Because as I understand it too, Apple takes this, like the whole approach is more like they reimagine the apps and how they interact once again. So the car is kind of like a new iOS device in that aspect. So it's an interesting way to do it, and I would love to see some other big manufacturer do it as well, so we have more options. That's what I want.
Well, it's interesting that, over in the US, aren't they on the second generation of Ford Sync with Microsoft and stuff? But I don't, you know, I don't think that the key one is obviously that doesn't mirror the screen across into the car and stuff. And obviously, it's only things like this Cortana update and stuff that Microsoft are moving beyond the sort of more simple voice commands into the Siri assistant, because I did see the CarPlay stuff was saying it was going to heavily use Siri to give you, you know, eyes off the road and hands-free communications and, you know, sort of control of your phone.
See, my concern here is, I mean, at the moment, as it stands, my phone sits in the little bit, which quite nicely fits, actually, in the just on the dashboard. So it sort of sits there as kind of a heads-up display. Well, not a heads-up display, but a display I can actually kind of touch and see. Apart from the fact it's got a really tinny speaker that if I want to be able to communicate with it, it's, you know, a bit of a challenge. It works, and I don't have to pay any extra for it because my phone sits in the thing. It depends how much the car manufacturers. I mean, Ferrari going to build it in with their massively overpriced, but massively expensive vehicles. Mercedes potentially, but Mercedes do the A-Class, which doesn't actually cost a huge amount of money. Are they going to say, right, that's another 1,500 quid, please? Is it going to be like a premium thing that you have to have separately? In which case, it's not going to be universally kind of available. It's going to be this extra option that people will have to shell out for, and it may not actually be the main thing that people use. You know, it's going to be a luxury that few people have. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I would imagine Mercedes will, because when I was looking at the cars last year, one of the ones I almost settled on was the Mercedes, and it was the Mercedes A-Class, and that was because it had that special jack that linked into your phone and allowed you to stream stuff up to the dashboard, but it still only used like your iTunes music. It didn't work with Spotify. But that cable, which essentially was just this proprietary Mercedes plug on one end, and on the other end it was a 30 pin. They hadn't even brought out the lightning cable at that stage. And this was obviously only last year, so I mean the 5 had been out for 6 months, 8 months at that stage. And this little cable itself you had to buy separately. And I don't remember how much it was. I remember thinking, in fact, I never found out how much it was because the car I was going to buy was a demonstrator and they were going to throw that in as part of the deal, quote unquote.
Now, conversely, sorry, go on. The conversely, I'm just thinking, the car I've got, my wife's Prius, has got a little LCD display on it, and it's got some kind of satellite navigation. You can access the climate control. It's not like a top-of-the-range car, but a lot of the entry-level cars, certainly if you buy some of the cheaper Japanese cars, or, you know, so you're not actually spending a huge amount of money, you do get some kind of digital display. If they were to put the only Apple-compatible digital display on it, and you don't have an Apple device, does that mean that you're not going to be able to use it? Or will it just do basic stuff?
I would hope they would just do basic stuff.
Right.
Surely. But then I guess, would it?
It's what comes as standard. Yeah, exactly. It's what comes as standard is what concerns me. That if you get a car with a piece of, with this, like, CarPlay. What's it called? Car. Whatever.
Air car.
And you go, well,
if it's not called DeLorean and it doesn't fly, I don't want it.
Right, exactly. I think I've made my point, if not rather shambolically.
Yeah, we've went all over the shop on this one, but I think we got to there in the end. Alan, you wanted to discuss with us the huge amounts of Windows Phone 8.1 information that's out there.
Yeah, as I say, obviously we mentioned some rumours previous podcast about this and stuff, but since then there's been the SDK was sent out to a few limited select developers, and of course then immediately leaked all over the internet.
So
WP Central's been actually giving a sort of major sort of story feed to this. I just counted up. There's over 100 bullets that they're happy enough are confirmed features in Windows Phone 8.1. So I'd actually consider it, at this point, I'm actually thinking it's probably good enough to be called a 0.5 upgrade.
Right.
I mean, the amount of stuff in there is ridiculous. Some of it is definitely sort of, oh, well, you know, you can get that on other handsets and stuff. But obviously, them coming to Windows Phone is big both for Windows Phone owners who don't have those features yet, and also people who might not might not be willing to move from Android or iOS without features that they're used to. Right. Good example is Action Center. So you'll be able to swipe down from the top of the phone and you can get a notification center and also quick customized actions to turn on and off Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, etc., etc. So, I mean, you know, you obviously the Android people are going, yeah. And the iOS people are going a little more recently, yeah.
Well, that's the point, I think, Alan, is that, it's taken Android and iOS quite a long time to get to that level, that delta that Microsoft are in just 1.1 iteration. The thing that annoys me, one of the things that really annoys me about my phone is that it won't remember passwords. And maybe, actually, it's probably a good thing it doesn't remember passwords because it's possibly insecure. But this version of, you know, so if you go to a website, you have to type the password in every bloody time. This thing, the 8.1, includes click to save password. Thank goodness for that. Something I've been looking forward to.
Also, it's Internet Explorer 11 and integrates with your Microsoft ID. So it will also sync your passwords if you previously entered them on desktop for the same website. And you can also do the open tabs from your desktop to your mobile and you can upload files, you get improved HTML and JavaScript performance, WebGL performance.
That may persuade me to use Internet Explorer 11 on my desktop. I mean, I've been a Chrome person for quite a while.
Yeah, so have I. And Chrome has this already across all platforms, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, it's catching up fairly quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm. As I say, you know, there's other ones like, you know, much better use of SD cards for the Windows phones that have those. You'll be able to store app and game data on them, as well as just your music and photos. You've got full Google Calendar support with multiple calendars coming. You've got a first-party international podcast app finally turning up.
See, that's interesting. Android doesn't have a kind of a standard podcast app. You have to get one from the Play Store, don't you?
And I kind of feel in some, unless it's a bit like the iOS podcast app, which people haven't sort of, they haven't got rid of their third-party one to pick up on the whole. I feel for the people who've developed the podcast app because, yeah, Windows have just said, right, they're going to use ours. But they might not. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you'll still be able to find some flashlight apps in the iOS store.
Oh, does iOS have a flashlight?
Yeah, it's part of the little notification action panel thing. That's probably not the name of it, but it's the little thing.
Control center, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes. So you can switch on and off the flashlight there.
There's a lot of stuff in this one that will make Windows Phone really give the final sort of good intros on the enterprise market. So encrypted signed email support, full corporate VPN support, enhanced policies to enable enterprise control of the device.
Nice.
OCR scanning with the camera built in into the office side of things.
That's quite cool.
All those sort of things are coming. Then there's some nice features for end users, such as, I know, people who really like, you'll be able to choose to have your tile accent colour on the start screen transparent and then put a picture behind, so you can have full screen wallpaper on your start screen. You know, you've got things like quiet hours, so, you know, set the phone to stay quiet in certain hours. New navigation and voice stuff, including Cortana. Apparently, Windows Phone is going to give the option of a swipe keyboard, so you don't need to lift your finger.
I loved the swipe keyboard in Android. I really missed that when I came back to iOS. I know you can get it as an app, but it's...
I have to say, I'm a little bit... I really like swipe, but having moved over to Microsoft one where it gives you a kind of list of words you might want to use next, which I think there is an add-on for Android you can use, I do like that because on the whole, I can pretty much, you know, maybe I only type in about 100 words, different words, but it tends to be able to construct sentences for me a lot of the time. Oh, I only have to type the first couple of letters of the word. So, but that's the extra option is useful, isn't it?
Yeah.
And there's things like hardware accelerated audio and video transcoding, apparently, and more audio and video effects the phone can do direct. So those are nice. And Xbox Music and Video are going to be pulled out of the Music and Video Hub and be standalone pre-installed apps, so they can be updated quicker to stay in sync with the fast-moving Xbox side of things. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. Useful.
Very cool.
You can decide to mute threads in messaging in the messaging hub, so don't get pinged off them anymore and stuff, which I guess with integration with Facebook messaging and all the rest of it could be useful. Little enhancements around the phone and stuff. But then quite a batch of... they introduced in the last update DataSense, which was built into the OS level, and you know, you could keep an eye on your data usage and your data caps, and you could also say, well, actually go and put it via a proxy and therefore, you know, squeeze the data when I'm using web browsing and stuff. But apparently we're also getting battery sense and Wi-Fi sense. So still waiting to see sort of the full details behind those, but obviously anything to, I believe the battery sensor will allow you to interrogate and find out which apps have actually been burning through battery quicker and stuff.
Hmm. Handy.
And then, you know, there's lots of other stuff in terms of, well, Bluetooth 4 support, Miracast to...
When I was glancing at this before, I thought they said Minecraft.
I thought it said Minecraft as well. Yeah. Oh, no.
Killer feature.
They're putting it in as part of the OS. That's incredible.
I say, so Miracast, you know, you can project Wi-Fi or via USB out onto any old TV that supports Miracast or Play 2, or, you know, via your Xbox or whatever that supports Play 2. There's more evidence of the fact that they're using the same sort of the same kernel and tying things in that we're getting mouse and keyboard support for for the phone. I mean, that might mean keyboard, hardware keyboards coming back.
Well, I can see keyboard. I can't really get the logic behind mouse on a phone, but
I've got a Bluetooth keyboard mouse combo thing that I've used on my my little Nexus 7. It makes it into the smallest laptop in the world. And I was actually really surprised that Windows Phone doesn't have keyboard support.
I mean,
so
you know,
that'll be welcome.
Yeah.
I quite like the... I mean, I know it's on other platforms, geofence monitoring. So, you know, you can say, this area is my home and alert me when I'm in and out of areas and stuff. So, again, that's a catch-up and stuff. Quite curious about this stereoscopic 3D support.
Hmm.
Okay.
you've got to cross your eyes when you look at it and you can get a 3D image.
I guess that's if somebody created a phone with the screen that allows you to do that, then it's got support in the OS, is that?
I'm guessing it's going to require new hardware,
Yeah.
So basically someone at home can hack in like the Nintendo 3DS screen there and you can like stare at it and get 3D effect, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, with my, certainly my 3DS, I keep it switched off all the time, so I pretty much use it as a 2DS. So, yeah. It's interesting that it's in there.
The only other one, the related one to that is then what that means for the underpinnings. And this, Microsoft's also getting the results of a push they've been working on for a while, in that Windows Phone from 8.1 will be able to run Qualcomm reference designs that are used for all the generic Android handsets. And so that obviously, and associated with that, then they announced 9 new OEM partners. So obviously, you know, we're all kind of used to Windows Phone. Well, that's Nokia and not much else, isn't it? But no, you know, the latest sort of slide they put up has Foxconn, Geone, HTC, Huawei, JSR, whoever they are, Carbon, which obviously will lead into the other story, Lenovo, LG, Longcheer. Anyone heard of them?
Longcheer.
Nokia, Samsung, still in there, still expected to release new handsets with 8.1, ZTE, and XLOD.
Xlog.
Xol, maybe.
Xol, all right. Okay. I think it said Xlog. It's interesting, yeah, new Microsoft invention for the bathroom, the Xlog.
I'd say the only thing that's missing on here is one thing I'm missing. I've mentioned this on occasion online, is the fact that I like the sharing navigation thing. I like to be able to sort of say, you know, the glimpse, the Google location sharing. Does iOS does location sharing, doesn't it? Can you share your location on iOS?
Well, you've got your Find My Friends and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. You could use Glimpse or Waze or something like that. Does the same thing. I find that far easier.
I think you might get that one, James, because under Developer, it's talking about new background tasks, such as developers will help to get hold of Bluetooth signal strength, chat message, notifications, charging, but it also says location.
Ah, location. Excellent.
With the developer API being exposed.
Fantastic. Well, fingers crossed, that's that'll help.
Very cool. Okay. That sounds very interesting. We'll keep our eyes on that. But the feeling is that this is a fairly solid list, isn't it?
Yes, it's a big list, and if you make sure that you've signed up your Microsoft ID for free, which you can do via Microsoft's App Studio, so you're listed as a developer, even if you've never written an app or published an app, then you'll probably find Windows 8.1 being pushed to you during Microsoft's Build conference at the beginning of April. Yeah. Otherwise, you will have to wait until your carrier approves it, July maybe. Maybe a little later.
Or any time in the near future or distant future before the universe dies of heat death.
Oh, you've read the carrier's terms and conditions, I see.
Yeah, I used to work for one, so yeah, I'm kind of familiar with the how it works, sadly.
Very cool. So I somewhat connected to that, James, you want to talk about the dual boot Android Windows phone.
Well, that's right. What I see this as, and I sort of wanted to bring it up as a sort of potential point of discussion, was that it just looks like they're trying to fill all the gaps in. They've got Android phones, they've got Microsoft phones, Android phones are coming of age, Windows phones. Yeah, we're getting there. I'll tell you what we want to do. We want to see if we can get something that's halfway between the two, so just to really confuse people. And you've got two different approaches. The first approach is the dual boot Android and Windows Phone 8, which has been mentioned. I mean, it's been like 6 months they've been talking about this, the fact that they want to build a phone where you can either choose on boot or possibly even on initial setup. But it's kind of like depends on how mature it is and whether they want people to be able to chop and change or just to make a decision when they get it. So this, as Alan was saying, is all about hardware that is compatible across, you know, all the API, the hardware cores. The other one is Nokia making an Android phone that looks like a Windows phone and has an Android app store, but it's not the Google Play app store, it's a Nokia app store, kind of like what Amazon have done with their Kindle, so that it's curated applications, but the look and feel is like a Windows phone. And I can see a couple of benefits, the main one being that they can produce very cheap devices for developing world countries, which is a market that I think that Nokia have continually managed to exploit up to now and want to continue to exploit because they can produce phones at a reasonable price. But for everybody else, it just adds to the confusion because you really don't know what you don't know what you're getting. Therefore, how can you decide what you want before you get it, if that makes sense?
Yeah, because it's the minority, or maybe it's a wild proclamation, but I think it's the minority that know that they want a Windows or an Android or an iOS phone. Most other people are just interested in a phone that does XYZ, and this just completely confuses things because you're looking at Windows phone and Android phone, and somebody comes and says, well, I want to do email, I want to do Facebook, I want to do XYZ. And they say, well, yeah, it does both of those, but what do you want Windows or Android? Well, I want all the things that I just said. Yeah, both of them do that. I think it completely confuses.
I can see a lot of really stressed people in Car Phone Warehouse, and that's just the staff.
Yeah, I think to be fair, yeah, Nokia has said with the Nokia X that, you know, they're not going to release this over in sort of developed markets because A, they want to sell you more expensive phones that developed markets can afford, but B, yeah, it's just obviously muddies the market. But I think, you know, the Android Windows Phone dual boot, apparently the big push for that is helping get Windows Phone has been having the hardest time market share getting into the US market because of the carriers not being that keen to stock Windows phones. and bother to you know, actually try and sort of teach and explain to their staff what Windows phones are above Android and iOS. So the idea was, well, if the US networks only had to have one phone, but it could be Android and Windows phone, they'd then stock more Windows phone options. And some people might choose Windows phone if they actually got to see them in the shops. Whereas obviously over here in Europe, I think we're a lot luckier and we've got a much broader, you know, non-carrier locked.
Is that the issue, Alan? Is it that the carriers have a huge amount of control over? I mean, I guess was right in the early days of the iPhone, it was only one carrier that was actually stocking it. And of course, they had it made because people would flock to them to sign up for a contract for their phone. I think
it's apparently
the opposite
the
of
US,
capitalism, isn't it?
In the US, it's so crazy that it's the networks dictate to the manufacturers what features they want in and out of their phones before they'll carry the handset. So that's why you get all these weird US variants that aren't quite the same as the worldwide phones, and sometimes have something better put in, but often have something weird taken out and stuff.
Hmm. Weird.
There's a really good article talking about the way that the phone companies have to deal with the US network completely different than anywhere else in the world. And that's why you get all these weird US models. It is actually the networks determining what handsets are allowed on their network.
Gosh.
Very, very scary.
Indeed, indeed. But somebody that isn't scary, and somebody that isn't going to tell you what you need to put on your internet provider, is our second sponsor this evening, and that is UK2. They are absolutely superb. If you head on over there, and actually I should have said this about the Network Union ad before, but if you head on over the British Town Network site and click on the sponsors link, you will see all sorts of fantastic voucher codes for UK2. So money off VPNs, VPSs, domain names and everything like that. They're absolutely superb. If you could just click on the link there and head on over to the UK2 site, pop in your voucher codes and enjoy the awesome that UK2 brings you. I'm a customer of UK2. I'm a very happy customer of UK2. The support service I have found to be second to none, and I've used a lot of providers over the years for web services and whatnot. Absolutely superb. Thank you very much, UK2, for sponsoring the network. Please support them because they support British tech. Now, first and foremost, because Mr. Hart has to leave us, unfortunately, we had a little audio issue in the middle of this show, which I will cut out, and that's made us run a smidge long. So apologies, James, but I'll let you jump in first to do your pick and then leave us.
So my Android pick this week is, I don't know if you guys who are running iOS have got an application called QuizUp, but it's basically an interactive trivia quiz, and there are absolutely loads of categories, brilliant fun to play with friends and strangers, and I think I found it rather addictive. However, it's only available on iOS, except if you've got a membership of the beta list for the Android. And so basically all you have to do is go to a particular Google Plus beta tester group, and you'll download the preview version of the beta version of QuizUp. And on the whole, if they release a version that doesn't break, which they did earlier in the week, it's great fun. You can play with iOS users. It's multi-platform, and it is so addictive.
It is.
We'll hopefully put the link to the community into the show notes, so you can have a click around. But I really do recommend it. It's a really great way. I mean, The games I tend to play on my devices tend to be these collaborative games, the ones like Words with Friends and the like, because I quite enjoy that aspect of, you know, I guess it's like postal chess back in the day, except but QuizUp is there is a particular kind of genre you're into and expertise you can own it, and it's great. There's Minecraft, there's television, there's 1980s pop music, there's tech, and possibly we could even sort of have a British tech league where we take each other on, see how we can get up, yeah, see if we can beat each other. But yes, it's great. It's called QuizUp, and it's available for Google for Android devices if you join the Google Plus beta tester group.
Very cool. Okay, thank you very much, James, for joining us this evening.
Thank you, and hopefully catch up with you guys soon, and I'll wish you merry on my way. Cheers, then.
Grant, cheers.
Cheers.
Bye, James. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Cool. Yeah, that's also available on iOS as well, as James alluded to there. It's a very cool little app. Robert, what do you have for us this evening?
I have an app that is available not only for iOS, but also for Android. Sadly, there is no Windows Phone version as of yet, at least. And the name is Threema. And it is kind of what WhatsApp does, only it isn't owned by Facebook. And it is end-to-end encrypted, among other cool things. So this is not something that any government can really easily snoop on. At least that's what they promise. And the technology they used, it looks solid. So if you want to have secure conversations, file transmissions, sending a photo of something to your friend, Threema seems to be the way to go. It's very affordable, and their servers are hosted in Switzerland, so good luck trying to get any stuff out of them if you really want to. And it looks like a really, really good app. Compared to all the alternatives, this is the one that security experts have said, this is good stuff.
Cool, very cool. It's £1.49 in the British iTunes store.
Yes.
It looks quite cool. So does that link into other services, and it's only secure if you connect Threema to Threema, or does it only connect Threema to Threema?
Exactly, a Threema to Threema you have to have some kind of proximity to, like, device to device, so you actually create that, shall we say, trust there between devices and between users.
Cool.
But if you've done that, from everything I've heard so far, from what other people have said, it's a really solid solution that works really well.
Very cool. Thank you very much, Robert. So, Alan, what have you got for us this evening?
There were three apps from a particular developer that they've just decided to go from paid $1.50 to £2 each to free. So, everyone loves free.
Very good.
The first app is called OneShot. And basically, it was one of the first third-party apps to use the Nokia freely released SDK stuff to get at the camera and apply real-time filters and all that lot. But it lets you get quite a level of pro sort of camera adjustment while you're taking the shot and then after. If you're on Nokia, I'd probably still stick with the Nokia camera just because it's great. But if you're not, or you want to try something different, no harm with free. The other two are actually lock screen wallpaper updaters. In the Hello Friends, basically goes and picks a load of your Facebook friends out of your contacts list, and therefore puts their pictures all over your wallpaper. Don't know whether you do or don't want a collage of your friends staring at you from your phone wallpaper. And whereas Lockbuster is a bit more, could be a bit more arty in that one you pick various photos out of albums, and then it will do a nice collage effect and rotate that through your wallpapers and lock screen.
Very good. And they're all free.
Yep.
So grab them while they're free in case they go back up again. My one is is another one that's on discount. It's 50% off just now. It's a game called Rails, and it's iPad only. It's not even on the iPhone. I think it's actually on the Mac as well, but I've never actually played it on the Mac. But essentially what it is it's a railway game. You start off with two stations. You have to join track between the two stations. The two stations are different colours, and trains come out of those different stations are different, the opposite colour. So, for example, you've got an orange station and a green station. The green station releases an orange train, and you have to get that train to that station. The game then gets more complicated by adding more stations in, and then you have to control kind of signals to pause the train and turn them back the way and change the points and all that kind of stuff. It's an awesome little game. I have lost hours of my life since I discovered this about a week and a half ago. Apparently, it also syncs through iCloud to the desktop version. So it's exactly the same game if you're playing it on a Mac. Essentially, you'd be using your mouse instead of a touchscreen, but it's exactly the same game. And if you sync it using iCloud from your iPad, you don't have to replay the levels as well. Absolutely superb little game. I love this game very much. It's £1.99. And it's available in the iTunes Store. And as I say, it's on a 50% discount just now for a limited time. So that's Rails. So, finally, just quickly, thank you guys for joining us tonight. Much appreciated. I hope it hasn't been too much of a traumatic... I'll start that again. A traumatic experience for the two of you. We will be back again in 2 weeks with more mobile-based nonsense, tomfoolery, and some news. First of all, just before we finish off, Robert, can they tell the lucky listeners where they can find you?
they can just skedaddle over to streakmachine.com, and from there you can find pretty much all my web and otherwise internet presences.
Very cool, very cool. And Adam, whereabouts can they... Adam? Adam? Alan? Alan, where can they find you?
Yeah, they're welcome to look me up at Digital Amoeba, or one word, on Twitter.
And you can get James, who had to leave us early, SYZYGY, on Twitter. And you can find me at Paul Wheatley on Twitter, and we'll be back in 2 weeks. Thank you very much for your ears this evening, and good night.